Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went, and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory, oh what joy, they bring to me.
They bring to me
how I long once more to be,
with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by his wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory, oh what joy,
with my friends at the old country church. All my thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious
well, good morning, everyone, and greetings in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Father, as we open your word this morning, may the Holy Spirit come forward to bring to us a greater understanding of your word, Father. May he open our hearts and minds to be receptive. Because, Father, we do know that our own, there is very little understanding. Now, Father, be with us throughout this morning. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. We're going to be getting back into the four Gospels this morning. We're going to be in Matthew as we go through. Right now we've got a little extra day on the four Gospels since we had finished reading Revelations here. And for about a week, we kind of moved into four Gospels. We're going to be in the 12th chapter this morning, beginning here with verse 1. At that time, Jesus went on the Sabbath day through the corn, and his disciples were 100. And began to pluck the ears of corn and to eat. But when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto him, behold, thy disciples do that which is not lawful to do upon the Sabbath day. But you know, the Sabbath day, which equals our Saturday, it was the seventh day of the week. And really, it begins at sunset on Friday and lasts until sunset Saturday evening. And there was a lot of things that they were not supposed to do on the Sabbath day. And a lot of it was actually more legalistic than tradition or as the Lord God had spoken to me. But you've always got these groups that thinks they know more than anybody else or our God himself, even. And we're dealing with some of those here in these early verses. Two. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto him, behold, thy disciples do that which is not lawful to do upon the Sabbath day. Three. But he said unto them, who said this? Jesus. Have you not read what David did when he was a hungered, and they that were with him? Now he entered into the house of God and did eat the showbread, which was not lawful for them to eat, neither for them which were with him, but only for the priests. Or have you not read in the law how that on the Sabbath day the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? But I say to you that in this place is one greater than the temple. But if ye had known what this meaneth, I will have mercy and not sacrifice, ye would not have condemned the guiltless. For the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath day. You see, the Lord Jesus was working with two different things. Oh, actually three. He came to fulfill the law. And then he had to get the people of that day and time ready for what was about to take place, which was the establishing and the beginning of the church age. Now think about that. He's a busy, busy man. Now, here in verse 9, it says, and when he was departed thence, he went into their synagogue. And behold, there was a man which had his hand withered. And they asked him, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath days, that they might accuse him? You see, they're always looking for something that they can actually hold against him to get rid of him. That's exactly what they are wanting. They are wanting to get rid of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, his answer here in 11. And he said unto them, what man shall there be among you that shall have one sheep, and if it fall into a pit on the Sabbath day, will he not lay hold on it and lift it out? How much then is a man better than a sheep? Wherefore is it lawful to do well on the Sabbath days? You see, he was trying to get them to understand, because when the church days are established, which is coming quicker than what they really think, but anyhow, when they are established, we are to keep with him every day. not on just a certain day, but every day. And we are to be walking in the Word of God and also in the Spirit of God. That's why that on the day of Pentecost, when the church age was established, the Holy Spirit was sent to mankind to live within him, to give him guidance of knowledge and wisdom to use that knowledge, also to give him the power of Almighty God working through him to accomplish those things that he would be sent forward to do. Now, here's 13. Then saith he to the man, stretch forth thy hand. And he stretched it forth, and it was restored whole, like as the other. He's been healed. So we are falling so short today because we are not walking in the Spirit, with the Spirit. We're not walking in the Word, bringing the Word into our lives and living it. So we're not walking with any of the power of God working through us, and we wonder why. Is it that God's not working today? No. Because he is. There's times that we have seen that he was. And there's times in my life where his power worked on me at the time it was needed. So it can't be denied. But it's being rejected and being mocked. And a lot of it is even being mimicked by establishing shows that are actually deceiving and lies. And it's being done in his name. And mankind will have to pay for that. He's not to be mocked nor tested. We know those that are the children of God know of his love, of his mercy, of his power, all of the gifts. And they know they work. They know that he keeps his promises, that he does not lie. You see, that's one thing God can't do. He can't lie. And the Word tells us this. But we still got them that are disclaiming things he's told them not to do, and they're doing the very thing, and they are doing it in the church. That's why our churches today have fallen like they have. Let me tell you something. We've got a lot of them out there that are weak and fallen, that need to repent and get back in to the Word of God as it is written, not what they want to make it say. Now, 14, he just got through with healing this man's hand. And 14 says, then the Pharisees went out and held a council against him, how they might destroy him. They seen the power of God at work. But because of their pride and the things they wanted, they are now against the Lord Jesus Christ, just as we've got them today. 15. But when Jesus knew it, he withdrew himself from thence, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all. He didn't leave not one out. He healed them all. Sixteen, and charged them that they should not make him known. Seventeen, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, behold, my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall show judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not strive nor cry, neither shall any man hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed shall he not break, and smoking flax shall he not quench, till he send forth judgment unto victory. And in his name shall the Gentiles trust. Those verses there, 18, 19, 21, are all portraying and letting us know that who he is talking about is the Lord Jesus Christ. Because you see, we are to stand in and on and with the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're not to back down. And we are to stand and proclaim it in boldness. 22. Then was brought unto him one possessed with a devil, blind and dumb. Possessed with a devil, blind and dumb, and he healed him insomuch that the blind and the dumb both spake and saw. He healed him complete. 23, and all the people were amazed and said, is not this the son of David? Looking for any excuse. 24. But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, this fellow doth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. Now, they're saying that he's doing all this by the devil. Part of the devil, and he's doing it through the devil. But you see, he has an answer too for them. 25. And Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. Man, this is why we need to take on the responsibility that Almighty God has given to us and see that the Lord Jesus Christ is taught in our house, in our families. Just as I'm sitting in my house right now, sharing this word, not only with my house, but with the world. And I'm not going to back down. Now we found out that city or house divided against itself shall not stand. 26. And if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How shall he then, his kingdom, stand? It couldn't, you see, his kingdom would not really stand. 27. And if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. He talks straight. He don't pull no punches. And he lets them know just like it is. They get upset with me in the way that I teach. I've got them that only comes once in a while when they feel like it. Or they'll call in when they feel like it. Not because they feel led by the Lord Jesus Christ either. Now, 28. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. He's letting us know straight out. 29. Or else how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house? You see, the only way Satan can do anything in your house is by you letting him in. And are you a strong man to where you can stand against him to keep him out? That Holy Spirit that lays within you has got all the power of God. And we've been given the authority to use the name of Jesus to withstand Satan when you see the Holy Spirit is there to give that name the power. Now, he that is not with me is against me. And he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. We're either with him or we're not with him. And if we're not with him, then we're doing more harm in the world. And stopping, helping to stop good things. Now, 31. Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. You know, I've told you all about that several times. Now, you're hearing it right out of God's word and out of the Lord Jesus Christ's own mouth. These are his words. You see, that is the only thing that you will not be forgiven for. And we've got a lot of them today that's doing that very thing and calling themselves Christian. And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. Don't put him down at all, because it'll not be forgiven, either here on earth or in heaven, either one. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ speaking. Now, 33. Either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt, for the tree is known by his fruit. He's given us a good example there, isn't he? You are known by God by your fruit. What kind of fruit is your life showing? What kind of fruit is it bearing? Is it good fruit or corrupt fruit? And nothing is hid from God. He knows. You can't hide it from him. You may hide things from mankind, but you cannot hide it from the Lord Jesus Christ and Almighty God. No, that just will not work. And depending on how you stand, because if you stand corrupt, here's Jesus' thought. 34. O generation of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. You see, he knows the inner man. He knows that heart. And he knows. And he's letting you know that you are a viper when you are standing against him and against the word. 35. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. You see? He's letting each know. If you are a good man, you are bringing out good things. You're not going to be bringing out evil things. But if you're an evil man, neither are you going to be bringing out anything good. Now, 36. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. Every idle word. You'll give account for. Why is that? Because those idle words are not for the Lord Jesus Christ, the Spirit, the Father, or the kingdom of God. They bring things that should not be brought forth. Now, verse 36, but I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. That's where you will give an account for. Now, for by thy words, thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. So watch how you speak. What is coming out of your mouth? Is it things that are good and things that will pertain to the Lord Jesus Christ, to the Father, to the Holy Spirit, and to the kingdom of God? Or is it things of this world out here and things of your wishes that you want instead? Now, we're either justified or condemned by our words. Now, 38. Then certain of the scribes, Pharisees, answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. Now they're wanting a sign. And yet they've seen him. They've seen his work. They know of his work. But now they're asking to see more of the sign. But he answered and said unto them, An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, but there shall no sign be given to it but the sign of the prophet Jonah. 40. For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days, 3 nights in the heart of the earth. He is now letting them know, beginning to let them know what is going to happen to him. He come knowing this. He knew he came for this purpose. Now, did he always really want to do that? No, not really. But he was going to be obedient to the Father regardless. Because you do remember when he was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane? Well, we'll get there. But he ended his prayer with, when he asked the Lord if this cup could pass from me, and then he ended with, not my will be done, but thy will. And this is exactly the way we need to end our prayers. Lord, not my will, but thy will be done. Your will in my life always, not mine, yours always, and giving me the guidance that is needed. 41. The men of Nevea shall raise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it because they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and behold, a greater than Jonah is here. You see, in Jonah, was one that prophesied a whole lot about the Lord Jesus and what was to come, and about the Holy Spirit. Now, 42, the Queen of the South shall raise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, for she came from the uttermost part of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and behold, a greater than Solomon is here. This is Jesus' own words in describing himself, letting us know, letting everyone know who he is. Now, 43, when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest and finding none. That spirit that's within a man, when he leaves that man, he's out there trying to find somewhere else to go. Now, if he can't find somewhere else to go, what's he going to do? 44. Then he saith, I will return into my house from whence I came out. And when he is come, he findeth it empty and swept and garnished. Supposingly, 45, then goeth he and taketh with himself seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. Even so shall it be also unto this wicked generation. Get any straighter and any stronger than this. But you see, this is why most don't want to hear me speak, because I stay with the word. It's not what I think. It's what the word says. And you know, I know that when they are talking about me because of it, they're trying to ridicule me, mock me, or something me that they're hurting. They're hurting themselves because they're really not talking about me. They're talking about the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. Now, 46. While he yet talked to the people, behold, his mother and his brother stood without, desiring to speak with him. Then one said unto him, behold, thy mother and thy brother stand without, desiring to speak with thee. But listen to what he says. 48. But he answered and said unto him that told him, who is my mother and who are my brother? Now, you're getting ready to get another straight answer, and one that is not liked. And he stretched forth his hand toward his disciples and said, behold, my mother and my brother, for whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. Whosoever does whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven is the same as my brother and my sister and my mother. Those that are the children that are born again, we are his brothers and sisters and his mothers, because we are part of the family of Almighty God. Walk like it. Live like it. Speak like it. And let others see and know who you are. So that they, too, can find the Lord Jesus Christ and make him their Savior and their Messiah, so that they can walk with eternal life in heaven with him. And we're going to stop here for the time. I want you to remember what you've heard today, this morning. Meditate upon it through the day. Think about it. Really think about these things. Take them into your heart so you can begin to live the kind of life that will make you part of the family of Almighty God and a brother of the Lord Jesus Christ. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, we close your word. We thank you, Father, for your word. And we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you for the times that we can come together to share your word with each other and to share our thoughts and our hearts one for the other. Pardon me. Pardon me, Father. Now, Father, we lift up those that will hear this message that may be a little weak. They need Jesus and your word to grow stronger, walk straighter, with their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, knowing to whom they serve, so that they can have life eternal there with you. Father, any that are sick this morning, may they reach out and receive that healing that has already been given. Because your word tells us that we are healed by his stripes. By his stripes we are healed. There's no might, no maybes there. We are healed. Accept it. Stand on it. Believe it. Speak it and it shall come about. May not happen at that moment. But if you hold on to it, you'll see it come about. Father, we pray for those that are walking in darkness that will hear this message. That, Father, they will repent. They'll go to Jesus and repent. Have their sins forgiven. And that they will pick up their Bibles. And that they will begin to read. And that they will join in with us and the Lord Jesus Christ to learn how to live as a child of God. Now, Father, keep us all safe through the day. Keep us in health. Give us knowledge throughout the day and use us in great and mighty ways all of this day. And bring us back together this evening at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, when we will be back into your word, what you would have us to teach, letting the Holy Spirit reach out into this lost and dying world that we live in. Be with us now, Father. Hold us in the hollow of your hand. And we ask this, all in Jesus' name. Amen. And God bless. All right, everyone. I pray you'll be back with me this evening at 6 p.m. Until then, walk with God. He'll walk with you. Have a great day.